que
Muy bien, discussing the three factors out of the nine factors for the sharpening of controlling faculties. The first three ones, namely seeing the dissolution of mind-body objects, and in that one makes sure of working carefully and continuously. These three things are very important. If only we are grounded in these three factors, we are bound to progress day by day. With the power of aiming and driving force, our noble mind will be concurrent to the object of attention, leading to the practice of satipatthana in accordance in the spirit of satipatthana. The noble doting mind will be anchored on the object of meditation. And as the noble mind is continuous, as much as the noble mind is continuous, one is bound to deepen one's concentration. And initially, we have had the practice of aiming, taking aim at the object. So we are bound to see the natural characteristics of bhava. We will become familiar with the natural characteristics of objects. And as much as we are familiar with these objects, we are bound to cultivate knowledge, seeing the true nature of mind and body. Thus, you will be developing Viriya Sati Samadhi. And because you are knowing the truth with your own personal experience, you come to acceptance. Because you know it through your own experience, you know that it is correct. So in this way, you are said to have awakened your faith and confidence, coming to acceptance. Your faith and confidence arises, is uplifted. And this faith and confidence which has been awakened is developed with the practice. Such is sharpening the faculties so that your faculties will become clear and pure, clear-cut. As much as your faith and confidence is sharpened, you'll wish to advance with more zeal, strong desire to undertake your practice. You become energetic, that is virya. As much as you exert energy, you are bound to activate your mindfulness and deepen your concentration, which is quite obvious. So, by understanding the benefits of the practice on a theoretical basis, thus awakening your faith and confidence, you are developing it with the practice in order to see mind and body and their conditionality. So you come in stages. You are cultivating knowledge in stages so that you come to acceptance. And there will be more and more acceptance. There will be more and more mindfulness and more deepened the concentration. That is sharpening the faculties. As you note respectfully and carefully and continuously, you will not take many days to realize the benefit of the practice. You will know it by yourself because you are not noting properly, you are missing the objects, overshooting the objects, you are not knowing the true nature of the objects. Now you come to know the truth of the objects with your own personal experience, you come to acceptance. Such is faith, sadha. And in this way, you are developing it. Such is sharpening the faculties. Suitably, I mean, sorry, excuse me, in working respectfully and carefully and noting the object, one must be able to do it in a suitable manner. Everything must be smooth and conducive to the practice. Otherwise, there will be no benefit. So as the fourth factor of sharpening the faculties, the texts are given, these expressions, one must make sure of working suitably. Sapaya kiriyaya sampati. In seeing the division of mind-body objects in the course of the practice, and in practicing to make sure of working suitably and respectfully, respectfully and continuously, one needs to do it suitably. Only then you accomplish the meditative insight knowledge, bhavana jnana. So this suitability is very important. For instance, when you want to sharpen a knife, you use a grinding stone, a special grinding stone, for this purpose. And then, that is not enough, one needs some lubricant to be applied. The simplest lubricant is water, sometimes you use oil, and so on. And then, you need to apply energy in order to sharpen a knife. So you need this stone, grinding stone, special grinding stone. You need to apply energy. And also you need to keep the knife in the proper position. The position must be correct. And with strong zeal, not in half-hearted manner, but in a whole-hearted manner, you grind the knife on the grinding stone, applying the lubricant now and again as you need it. So, if you do that every second of the time, you are bound to sharpen this knife. Slowly, the knife will become sharpened and clear-cut, that's for sure. So, such example has been given in the text. In such is known as making sure of working suitably. Sapaya, kriyaya, sambhadeti. There are seven suitabilities. So it is not just practicing respectfully, carefully. You need to do it in a way, in a suitable way to be conducive to the practice, leading to the practice of practicing respectfully and continuously. Out of these seven suitabilities, the first one is the suitability of abode, avasa sapaya, namely the place should be suitable for you, such as buildings, trees, and so on. This is the first of the suitabilities. The second suitability is gochara sapaya, suitability of resort, especially for the monks. It should be suitable for alms ground. That is, the monks can go on alms ground to a village, alms village, back and forth within 1 or 1.5 hours. That should be suitable for the monks. And this Gojira Sabaya, the suitability of resort, as the monks are concerned with that. In a sense, as for all yogis, what is their suitability of the thought? They should understand what is suitable, what is not suitable. Anything which will not cause you to cultivate mindfulness and concentration, or cause to cultivate insight knowledge, bhavana jnana, should be considered as not suitable. And the verse is true, that is, any place which is suitable for you in cultivating mindfulness, deepening concentration, and insight knowledge is considered suitable for you. For instance, although outside of the, in ordinary life, you may be, man and woman may be talking about things of mutual interest. However, when they come to the practice in the meditation center, they are not looking for such things. They are looking for Dhamma. So, they should do it respectfully and note continuously. They should not have any regard for other things except the practice of meditation. Not to please oneself, or not to indulge in conversations, they should be able to renounce, at least temporarily, in the course of the practice. If you want something priceless thing, something priceless, you should pay for it. You won't get it free. The more priceless the substance is you want to get, the more you have to pay. So, such should be understood. And as for the monks, they should understand what are the villages, places of resort which are not suitable for them, not to cultivate mindfulness and concentration. If it is not suitable, then you are not applying, you are not conforming to Gojara Sabhaya, suitability of resort. And as for the third one, Pasa Sabhaya, suitability of conversation. The only conversation, the only communication you should have in the course of the practice is to listen to the Dhamma and also report to the meditation teachers your observations and experience. You should avoid especially things which are concerning with lust and craving and not ordinary village talks, but to indulge in only Dhamma talk. Listen to the Dhamma as and when necessary. And if you have something to talk to, you should talk to the teachers to whom you report your observations and experiences. And as for the rest, it is better that you don't indulge in any conversation. And even if you have to talk to the teachers and so on, that should be done with limit, not in an unlimited manner. Such is the practice of suitability of conversation. If you have reason to do it, you should do it quickly. You should speak quickly. That is very important. And such is again the suitability of conversation. Yeah. So those of you who cherish the Dhamma lovers, should make use of the time to good advantage. This is very important. Even the time available to you is not too long. The time is limited and the time is precious, is valuable, and not to misuse it, not to waste it. You must put it to good use. And very, very careful. Especially in indulging in conversation, it's better that you abstain from conversation. Otherwise, it's tantamount to disturbance not only to you but to the surrounding. And if other people see you talking, they will underestimate you. They will tend to blame you for indulging in conversations. And also it will be tantamount to not loving the Dhamma, not cherishing the Dhamma. That's why Buddha has said that while you are practicing in the realm of the practice, while you are practicing in order to overcome these defilements and to fight out these defilements, to the point of no return, on a four-time basis, one must be careful in conversations. Otherwise, one will not be continuous in the practice of meditation. Not that you don't have to talk at all, but you abstain from indulging in unnecessary conversations. If you have to say, of course you say it, but put a limit to that. If not, there will be no end to conversation. You will be saying something and the other person will be replying, and the other person will be saying and you will be replying and so on, so that there will be no end to this conversation. And then if you, on top of that, if you enjoy this conversation a bit more difficult, because this will be tantamount to wasting your valuable time. So some yogis are talking, and if they don't have to talk somewhere, they will go elsewhere and talk. So it is tantamount to not respecting this center, not respecting the Dharma, not respecting herself or himself, not respecting the others. So even if you have to say, you must do it as minimum as possible when it comes to unavoidable conversations. It is better that you avoid. And when you have to say something, you do it mindfully, like mindful of what you are going to talk about and mindful of what you are saying. Then it will be tantamount to listening to the Buddha or behaving in accordance with the instructions of the Buddha. And you will be practicing respectfully and carefully in order to cultivate concentration and knowledge. And the next one is known as suitability of person, Pogala Sapaya. While you are practicing in order to overcome, like fighting a battle, to subdue and overcome the defilements, one should avoid worldly conversations, or conversations which are not connected with the practice. And you should abstain from such persons who tend to talk worldly things. Even if that person is very friendly in ordinary life, he should not associate, he should not associate by through the conversation while you are doing the practice, because it will not be very helpful to you. You should abstain from such conversation or such contact, which is very important. Even if the conversation is really necessary, you should put a limit to that. Sometimes you may have some occasion to talk to another person in a very important manner concerning the practice, then you may do so, especially reporting your observations and experiences to your meditation teachers. And also when listening to the Dhamma talk, all these things have to be done with limit, and especially should abstain from talkative persons who indulge in worldly conversations. So such is Pogala Sapaya, suitability of person, which is very important. And this will be not only good for you, but it will be good for others. And when you are doing certain movements, like standing or sitting, changing postures, or going to drink water and things like that, you should do it gently and mindfully, so as not to disturb others. That is also Pogala Sapaya, suitability of persons. In this way, you are having regard to each other or to one another, which will be very helpful.
Look at the one.
If one cannot renounce, at least temporarily, these worldly pleasures, then you'll be missing, or you'll be losing a real pleasure or happiness that you can get, which is good in itself, unrelinquishable, and which is assured happiness. And if you cannot renounce the sensual pleasures, worldly pleasures, then you will be missing, you will be losing this assured happiness.
During
the Buddha's time, the people, the organizers of the retreat had to look for suitability, such as Gochara Sabaya, suitability of resort, Pogla Sapaya, suitability of persons, and Bhojana Sapaya, suitability of food. And they make it suitable, if it's not suitable. And the very glaring example, famous example, is given in the case of the landlady called Madhika Mata in the village where some monks are practicing meditation. They were not getting the food that they wanted. Like some monks may want sour things, they're not getting it. Some monks might want sweet things, but they're not getting sweet ones. So that this lady saw it with her supernormal powers, that they are not cultivating any knowledge, they are not gaining any insight, because of the lack of physical food. So she was able to provide suitable food. For instance, those who like sour things are given sour food, those who like bitter food are given bitter food, and so on. In this way, because she saw it with the supernormal powers and provided such food for the suitability of the monks, they were able to gain insight in a very, in a short time. Of course, in those days, she was able to do that, but here, we are not Madhika Mata. We do not know what you like. So we provide everything on the table. So you pick your choice. If it's sour, you take sour. Many, all sorts of things in front of your, on the table in front of you. So we are doing it for the purpose of Bhojana Sapaya, suitability of food, as much as we can. The sixth suitability is Udu Sapaya, the suitability of weather conditions, heat and cold. Here at this time of the year, it is neither too cold nor too hot. But when we say it is moderate, and of course we cannot make it too hot or too cold to your advantage. However, if you are feeling cold, we are providing, or we have provided enough blankets to warm yourself. And if you feel hot, there's enough water to bathe, or to take shower. And in this way, you can adjust yourself for the suitability of weather conditions, Udu Sapaya. In this way, the first, seventh, and the last suitability is suitability of posture, or postures, Iriyabhata Sapaya. In the beginning, yogis, the most suitable posture is sitting meditation. And the Buddha has given this instruction to sit cross-legged with upper body upright, which is most suitable for the beginners. So that in sitting meditation, you don't have to exert too much energy, so that you can cultivate concentration very easily. In the walking meditation, you have to exert energy, more energy. Here, by sitting, you can balance these two things, namely energy and concentration. So it's most suitable for beginners. And then when you're moving, you don't have to move too much while sitting. Such is Iriyabhata Sapaya, the suitability of posture. Of course, you don't sit all the time. You will walk after sitting for 1 hour, in turn, to stretch your limbs and be suitable in the practice of Iriyabhata Sapaya. In this way, this will be in accordance, these seven suitabilities are in accordance with the exposition, and they will be conducive to the practice of meditation. So as Dhamma lovers, you are getting, if you gain these seven suitabilities, you should be able to practice respectfully, carefully, And if you can do that, you're bound to cultivate insight knowledge in a few days' time. That's all for today.